We have for our scripture John 20, verses 24 to 31. It will be on your screens. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails, and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This ends the reading from the book of John, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Please be seated. We're in this series where we're kind of rediscovering who we are and what we're about as a church. And so last week we talked about belonging, that we are a people among whom anyone is welcome, everyone is invited to belong. And if we are not living in such a way that welcomes everyone, then we've got some work to do. And so not just here and not just in our front doors, but each of us out in the community, we want to make sure that we know about ourselves, but also that everyone else knows that all are welcome, all belong, and we all belong together. So, and if that's you, maybe you need to hear that this morning, that you belong, and that this is a place, this is a people among whom you are welcome to belong, then that word is for you this morning. But we also need to go out and spread the good news. So that was last Sunday, and today we're talking about believe. And believe is one of those words, kind of like love or something, that we throw around a lot. We talk about what we believe, or we believe this or that, but we don't always really understand what we're saying when we say that. Maybe we don't take it seriously. And so I want us to pretend that I need, for some reason, to be 6 or 7 inches taller. Believe it or not, it happens sometimes. So, not often. So I need to be 6 or 7 inches taller, and there just happens to be this block, this box here. Maybe I needed to light the candles or whatever, like so the acolytes use this. That's what that's for. And so, there it is. And I believe that this box will hold me. So I'm done. Right? Is that it? Have I achieved what I needed to achieve? No. What do I need to do? I need to stand on it. I need to take action, right? And we did this at the 8:30 service, and it actually helped me. So I'll assume that. And that's a little lesson right there, too. We sometimes base our beliefs on past experiences. And so, yes, here it is. I'm up. I'm higher because I believed that this box would hold me, and then I acted on that belief. And so here I am, and I kind of like it up here. This is kind of cool. And so that's taken care of. There is an important message in that, action, in acting on our beliefs. And I like that it's summarized. This week I was remembering with many others the death in 1997 of one of my favorite singer-songwriters, Rich Mullins. And he has a song called Creed. And the song Creed is the Apostles' Creed set to music. It's actually how I learned the Apostles' Creed when it came out back in the late 80s, early 90s. And And so, but the refrain as he goes through the Apostles' Creed is, I believe what I believe is what makes me what I am. I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God and not the invention of any man. I believe what I believe is what makes me what I am. That's the truth. What we believe is what makes us what we are. I believed that that box would hold me, would bear up under my weight, and that it would make me taller. And it did. It made me what I was a moment ago, which was taller. And so that's what our belief is. And we all believe. We all believe. Everybody in our culture, everybody in the world believes. And you can believe a downward spiral of darkness and cynicism, and that can be the kind of belief you have that's making you what you are, that kind of person. Or you can believe what John and his gospel has presented to us to believe in today. Because this story about Thomas, so-called doubting Thomas, is not just thrown in as sort of a final detail. This comes at what was probably originally the end of John's gospel. And there's another chapter that may have been tacked on by the author or somebody in his, one of his sort of disciples or somebody in his church, somebody who learned about Jesus from him or in his school of thought. But it seems clear that this is sort of an original ending of the gospel of John. And then again, and it's still gospel. The next chapter is still definitely God's word, but it's clear that this marks an end. So these are final thoughts that the writer of this gospel, the evangelist who wrote this gospel, wants us to understand, wants to leave us with. And what he leaves us with is this story of Thomas. So it's not just a trivial detail. Oh, yeah, I got to tell him about that time with Thomas. That was funny. I mean, maybe he thought that. I don't know. But nothing is in this gospel. Not a word is in the Gospels by accident. Everything is very intentional. And so what he tells us is the story of Thomas moving from unbelief to belief. From unbelief to belief. And then he has a couple of summary sentences about that story and about the whole gospel. And the whole thing can be summed up in one word, and I'll give you one guess what that word is. Don't be afraid. Believe. Yes, and I'm pointing to the screens because it's up there. Big hint. Choir, it's back there. Believe. That's the point. The gospel is utilitarian. The gospel of Jesus is on the streets, everyday life, utilitarian. It's not some lofty, ethereal sort of thing. There's deep, profound mystery, some of which we will never understand, but there is also deep, profound utility in the gospel. And that's what John is giving us. He is telling us a final story of someone who moved from unbelief to belief. And then he ends with those words, that this is written so that you will believe. And what does he want us to believe? He wants us to believe what Thomas came to believe when he exclaimed to and about Jesus, my Lord and my God. That's what Thomas says when he sees Jesus and Jesus reveals his wounds, his scars to Thomas and invites Thomas in. Come on. Touch me if you need to. And Thomas says, my Lord and my God. And that's what John, the writer of this gospel, wants us to believe. Jesus is my Lord and my God. 7 times the word believe appears in these 7 verses. There's a lesson about how to read the Bible with understanding. If you go through 7 verses and a word is repeated 7 times in that little span of narrative, then a point is being made. Seven times. Now, if you're going to test me on that, I see some heads down, maybe you're asleep, or maybe you're looking at your Bible. One of the forms is unbelief. And so, and unfortunately, it's translated in our translation as doubt. Jesus says, stop doubting. Don't doubt, but believe. And that's where Thomas gets Doubting Thomas. But in the Greek, for you nerds who want to know the Greek, the word for belief is pistuo. And Jesus says, for unbelief, it's apistuo, right? You put a letter A in front of a word, and it sort of negates that word, apistuo, like atheist. An atheist is someone who is non-theist, doesn't believe in God. So apistuo. So Jesus tells Thomas, don't be apistuo, don't be unbelieving, but pistuo, be believing, believe. And so that's one of the forms that this presents. So if you could hear that in the Greek, but even without the Greek, you hear that over and over. Believe, believe, believe. Don't be unbelieving, but believe, be believing. So there's a point being made. And that's what John is finishing this gospel with. Believe. Believe. Now again, this is utilitarian. It's not abstract. Why believe? Why believe? Have you thought about that? We all have reasons, some different reasons, a lot of common reasons for believing this about Jesus. But again, John in his gospel spells it right out, right here at the end, in case you've missed it. These stories I have told you about Jesus. I've written these stories down for you and told you these stories and these signs about Jesus so that you may come to believe that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Now listen here. And that through believing, you may have life in his name. That's why. Why believe? So that you can have life. The good life, the rich life, what kind of life? Life in his name. Don't miss how profound that promise is for you. Because what that's saying is, by believing in Jesus, by staking your belief in all of these stories, John's saying, that I've told you about Jesus, all the signs and the wonders that he has performed, the life that he has lived, the death that he has died, and the resurrection that he now lives. By believing in that, you will have the kind of life that Jesus has. You will have that resurrection life in you. You will have the life of God inside you. Life in his name. Life sharing in the authority and the power that Jesus was wielding. He can wield in your life. Belief leads to life. What we believe is what makes us what we are. What we believe is what makes us what we are and what we're becoming. But unfortunately, many of us have sort of settled for what I call the abstract gospel. Listen to what John doesn't say in his gospel. By believing in Jesus, I've written this gospel so that by believing in Jesus, you can have some vague notion of what's true. Some vague notion of the concept of truth. He doesn't say that. And he doesn't say, I've written all of this so that you, by believing in Jesus, can get into heaven when you die. He doesn't say that. Now, do you learn what's true and what's a lie to a large degree in following Jesus? Yes. Do you go to be with the Lord in heaven when you die by believing in Jesus? Yes. Is that the point? No. Is that the story John is telling throughout all 21 chapters of this gospel? No. I have told you all of this so that you may believe in Jesus, and by believing you may have life now, abundant, eternal, godly life now and forever. Even when this body wears out and can't go on anymore, yes, your life will go on, but those are characteristics. It's not the thing itself. So things like truth, things like everlasting life, yes, those are characteristics of this kind of life. But they're not the sum total, and they're not the reason Jesus came. You may have life now. And so, unfortunately, we settle for the abstract gospel that says Jesus came to teach us about the God in the sky, and we'll get into heaven because of him when we die. And that may sound silly when I put it that way, but honestly, that's what maybe even in this room, certainly Christians across America and around the world, that's kind of our belief in that abstract gospel that is just very vague. Jesus came to tell us about the God in the sky, and he'll get us into heaven when we die. And that's what belief in Jesus means. That there is this old man up in the sky somewhere, and when we come knocking on heaven's door, he'll let us in. And so here's what happens. Now hear me on this. Don't mishear me on this. Do we need to accept Jesus, to trust Jesus, to believe in Jesus as our Savior? Yes. Jesus came to save us from sin and from the power of sin, especially as expressed in death. But when we only accept Jesus as our Savior, and we don't accept Jesus as our Lord and teacher, then we know how to die, but not how to live. And the reason the church seems to be so ineffective in our culture in so many ways, and yes, we are effective in many ways, but the reason the church's influence has waned to such a degree that the culture is looking anywhere to belong, to believe, to be useful, to be loved, anywhere but the church. And it's because our churches are full of people who have accepted Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord and teacher. Our churches are full of people who know how to die, but don't know how to live. Let's not be that, shall we? Jesus came to save us from sin and death's power now, so that we can move from the way of sin and death now and enter into the way of life now. Jesus is the box that we step on to reach higher, to reach life. To use another metaphor, I believe that when I leave my house, if I go up Wrestler and then turn onto Mesa and then turn onto Thunderbird, I will get here to the church. I believe that so much that I did it this morning and it worked. And I do it almost every day, multiple times. And it always works. Jesus is the way that leads to life. It's utilitarian. It's practical. It's everyday. Jesus didn't just come to teach us how to die. Jesus came also to teach us how to live. Is that something you're interested in? Thank you. Good. I just want to see some bright eyes. So think about the very practical things that you believe in every day. Everything from step stools that you might use, you don't even think about, I don't know if that'll hold me. No, you just do it. You reach up in the pantry or whatever. You got a step stool, a map, which may be on your phone or in your car. Maybe it's not those old maps that nobody can fold back up right ever again. Although maybe you still use that, but you put your belief in the map. And then larger concepts like family. You have a belief in family maybe that you live out, or a belief in democracy. You have beliefs in democracy or whatever. These are things that we live out every day. Many things that we place our belief in every day. Simple little things, profound things. But consider this. How does your belief in Jesus inform your everyday life? Or does it at all? Do you believe in Jesus and follow him in the way that leads to life? Now, every day. Or do you just say, I'll deal with that. That'll matter when I'm close to death. I'll be ready to die. We, as a church, are learning to believe together. One of the big reasons you need to be here on Sundays and other times. It's one of the big reasons you need to be together, because we are learning together to believe. And so, together, we are learning to live. What we believe makes us what we are. So we are in the process of becoming together, learning to live. So get that Bible out and get a devotional. And look, I brought these up just to remind you. If you don't have a good devotional book to keep you in the Word every day, we've got free. These are free. And they cost us, so if you want to donate or whatever, that's good. But you just grab, we put them out there, and you grab one of these. And there's a large print, if you need a large print, Upper Room devotional guide. Or for teenagers, this is written for teens by teens. So you young people, grab one of these Devo zines back there, or whatever. Join a Sunday school class. Start a Sunday school class. Join a disciple Bible study. Come to a short-term Bible study, like the scripture writing, or I'm going to have one for new members or those who just need a refresher or whatever in a few weeks during the Sunday school hour. I'll be leading a 4-session class. Do something. Because how many of us claim to believe in Jesus? And I say, do you want to not just know how to die, but know how to live? And we say, yes, I accept Jesus as my Lord, not just my Savior, which is great, but also my Lord, my teacher every day. But we never, and I'm sorry to scare you off, but we never crack a book. There's homework. There will be a test. It happens every day, actually. There's a pop quiz every day. And how we live, go to him in his word. Learn from him. Learn from the teacher. Read the gospels. Stay in the word. Together. And above all that, watch for God out there. Watch for God. Watch for what God is doing. Watch for people who need you. Like Jenny was saying with the kids, who need to see Jesus in you. And maybe have something to show you of Jesus. Nothing will help your belief more than experiencing God out there in your everyday life. But that's what it's about. Life. That you may believe and that you may have life together. And the amazing thing is, this is the last thing I'll say. The amazing thing is, the way John ends this gospel here is by saying, what I've written in this book about Jesus, all these stories, all these amazing signs, There's a lot more, John says. There's a lot more. There are a lot more stories, a lot more things Jesus has done. But I shared these so that you may believe. But I think what John is talking about is in these years that we got to know Jesus and that we got to experience Jesus in this profound way, he did a lot more things than the ones that I have, by the power of the Spirit, have selected to share with you. So there's a lot more. But I think what John is also saying, because this word is alive, I think John is also saying, Jesus is in your story. Jesus is in our story. For 2,000 years, Jesus has continued to do more things, to show more signs, to tell more stories, true stories in our lives. There's a lot more. But Jesus marks the beginning, and that's what's amazing, is by saying all this, John at the end of this gospel is saying, are you ready to get started? This isn't the end. This is just the beginning. But the way Jesus marks the beginning of his journey with us is with those profound words. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Don't be unbelieving. Let's say believe together. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Like we mean it. One more time. Don't be unbelieving. Believe. Let's pray. Jesus, we want to believe. Help our unbelief. Look at our lives. Help each of us and all of us to bring our lives to you. Help us to be believers. Not cynical, not walking the road to death, but believing in you, trusting in you as the road to life. And not just when we die, but step by step, day by day, following you to the very life of God every moment of every day. And help us not to do it alone, Lord, but give us the courage and the faith and the trust in you and in one another to do this together, to belong and to believe together. In your powerful name, amen.